ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Today I want to take a bit of time and dive in to what is, to me, a genuinely fascinating piece of Australian history. It's been a while, but I used to spend a reasonable amount of time in Ballarat. Back in the 90s, my wonderful aunt and uncle were hoteliers there, so I'd go and, think I was helping out, probably making more of a nuisance of myself than actually doing any real work for them. But it gave me a chance to see just how much history there is right around the area. Now, it's very visible in the buildings, but the history goes a lot deeper. The Ballarat Mechanics Institute, the BMI. Now, get ready for this. Celebrating 165 years since its reading room first opened. That was December 1860. It's the oldest surviving cultural institution in Ballarat, and it has a ridiculously incredible story, from roots in the Global Mechanics Institute movement to even hosting Mark Twain, screening some of Australia's earliest films. It's inspired inventors like Henry Sutton. And so to learn more about it, we're joined by Ellen Becker, Heritage Collections Curator at the BMI, to talk a bit about not only the history, but the ongoing legacy of this institution. And Ellen, so nice to see you. Nice to talk to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, thank you.
Let's start with the basics. What is a mechanics institute? Why was that such an important thing in the 1800s?
So the Mechanics Institute movement started in the early 1800s in Scotland by an Englishman, actually, George Birkbeck. He was a Quaker and he was a professor of natural philosophy at the Andersonian Institute. And he was setting up laboratories in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and talking to all these mechanics to set up his laboratories, so different craftsmen and tradespeople, and they were so interested in what he was doing, and he became very conscious that there was a desire for learning amongst people who didn't have access to learning, and so the Mechanics Institute movement was born out of that.
When we hear the word mechanic now, we kind of imagine someone under a car. It clearly had a slightly different meaning back in the 1800s.
Yes, a mechanic meant a skilled worker at the time, someone using their hands. And by extension, it really meant the working class as well.
So what was the pathway that saw this movement, this Mechanics Institute movement, come from wonderful Scotland into Australia?
Well, the movement starts to spread across Britain, so spreads across Scotland, Wales, England, and then only 6 years later, in 1827, after the first Mechanics Institute opens in Edinburgh, we've got the Van Diemen's Land Mechanics Institute in Hobart, what would become Hobart. So it doesn't take long for that fervour to get to Australia.
Do you think, was there something about it that resonated with Australians at the time, particularly migrants at the time?
Yeah, I think that there were so many migrants coming here from different backgrounds, religions, faiths, languages, and there wasn't many centralised places for people to gather. So Mechanics Institutes were really public halls. It wasn't a centralised movement. You know, they weren't reporting back to someone in the UK who's telling them what to do and what to think. They were real public spaces. So every Mechanics Institute from town to town has its own inflection, has its own differences. There were places for people to gather, and they were the first places that people in the colonies, in the colony of Australia, colony of Victoria and New South Wales and Tasmania, these were the first places that people actually had access to knowledge. School was not compulsory. These predate universities. The Melbourne Mechanics Institute predated not only the State Library of Victoria, but also Melbourne University. So the first place in Melbourne that you could go to borrow books and go to lectures and read newspapers and periodicals was the Melbourne Mechanics Institute.
Ellen, you said they all had their own kind of particular style, their own take on this. What made Ballarat Mechanics Institute, I guess, unique compared to others at the time?
Well, I just can't imagine being in Ballarat during the gold rush. It was it was such a melting pot of all these different migrants coming from different places, appearing on what was a sheep farm, you know, prior to 1851 and, you know, only 13 years before that was unsettled land. This was Wadawurrung country. So from Wadawurrung country to the decimation of first pastoralists coming in and then mining, this landscape was totally transformed. First of all the trees were cut down, the soil was being dug up, people were pitching tents everywhere, there's thousands of people coming and going. Where do you find refuge? Where do you find quiet? Where do you find solace? So to have a place where you could go and read, where there's lights and there's a fire, and you could just be, you didn't have to buy anything, you didn't have to buy a drink, you know, you didn't have to belong to a particular religion or believe in a certain ideology, you just had to exist. And what a refuge that would have been for people in the diggings in Ballarat in the late 1850s.
And very evocative. I love that thought of it, and sort of this solace of learning when all the hustle and bustle. And it is important to remember just the speed of change that was happening right around the Victorian goldfields, but Ballarat in particular at the time. And look, I understand the BMI has ties to the Eureka Rebellion and some very early Victorian politics. What are those connections?
Yeah, absolutely. So following the Eureka Rebellion in 1854, there's the abolishment of the gold license system with the replacement of the miners' right. And there's also new seats that are opened up in the goldfields areas. So there's, I think, 8 new seats in the Legislative Council. And 2 people that they elect are Peter Lawler, who most people will have heard of, but someone who not enough people have heard of is John Basson Humphrey. So Peter Lawler was an Irishman and the fiery rebel who's rousing the miners during the rebellion. John Basson Humphrey was a pacifist and a Chartist, and he was leading the civic, you know, the civil disobedience that really did lead to the collapse of the system. You know, it wasn't the rebellion. The bill had already been sent to England before the rebellion to change the licensing system. So it was really people en masse deciding, you know, they can't put us all in jail, so we're not going to pay for the gold license. And that's really what led to the changes. So John Basson Humphrey, who led the Ballarat Reform League, he's elected with Peter Lawler, and they have a meeting with constituents in 1856, just after they're elected. And they say that their first priority for Ballarat is the establishment of a mechanics institute. So those key figures in the Eureka Rebellion were integral to securing the land, Crown land, to build the mechanics institute.
What an incredible history to come out of. And look, you know, I touched on it in the start, but the BMI's hosted some wild events over the years. Mark Twain, very early cinema lectures. You must have some favourite stories around those.
Well, I'm a movie buff. So for me, the fact that we were the first place in Ballarat that people saw moving pictures is pretty incredible. So we have a beautiful hall. It would have been called a mechanics hall at the time. It's now called the Minerva Space, and we have lots of performances still happening there today. That was the place people first saw moving pictures. And, you know, some of us might brush that off, but it was so radical at the time. You know, someone in the newspaper, I think it was the Ballarat Star at the time, says, you know, this is the difference between a kettle and a steam train. You know, this is a huge leap for images and imagery. So, yeah, apparently there were 11 actualities the first time that people saw pictures, and sometimes they'd be called seances as well.
No. Because I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you were conjuring lost time, you know, and the ability to be able to do that, to see time, you know, duration that has passed, and the fact that people first saw it at the mechanics, I love that. And we did become a cinema ongoing from 1919 until the early 2000s. And I like to say that we are the oldest still operating cinema in Australia, and maybe even the world. Someone prove me wrong. Someone find somewhere older that screens in 1896 and is still screening films today.
It's quite a challenge. It's a challenge to throw down. I like that.
Absolutely. I would love to know, because it would be good to shore that up with some rigorous research. And we did have Mark Twain speak in 1895. He visited Ballarat on his big lecture tour to build up his finances after he went broke. And he was quite infatuated with the Eureka Rebellion, actually. And we've had speakers like Vita Goldstein speak as well before suffrage was introduced and after. And Helen Hart, the famous radical suffragist as well. And we also had suffragitsu, where women learnt to defend themselves with a women-focused jiu-jitsu practice, which was great. And we had human curiosities as well at the mechanics. So we had, it's a darker history, but it is very Victorian to put people on display. So we had Aboma, the African giantess, and we had the original Tom Thumb, P.T. Barnum's Tom Thumb, and General and Millie Might. So these were short-statured people who would go around. And it is very curious because they are demystifying difference as well. So it's quite a complicated legacy to these human curiosities. But, yeah, so many things pass through the hall at the mechanics. It's pretty wild.
I wish you could have seen my eyebrows shoot up when you just said suffragitsu because I will be looking that up as soon as I get out of here and can find some more information on that. So Henry Sutton is a name that pops up a lot in Ballarat's history. How did the BMI have an influence on his inventions?
Oh, the BMI was integral because so Henry Sutton, more people should know who Henry Sutton is. He was an incredible inventor. He had read all the books on science and engineering in the mechanics by the age of 14. And people might think, oh, okay, but what did he do? He did so many things. He invented the light bulb at the same time as Edison. And Edison actually adopted Sutton's design because it lent itself better to mass manufacturing. And he invented the world's first portable radio, a rechargeable battery. He also created television, essentially. So John Logie Baird is credited as the inventor of television. But in 1885, Sutton was transmitting images of the Melbourne Cup from Melbourne to Ballarat.
What? Sorry, why is this not taught in every high school?
Exactly. It is. If you go onto the National Film and Sound Archives timeline of Australian film and television, that is the first entry. It is Henry Sutton recording images and transmitting them. He used to call it a telephane. So television is vision over distance, but telephane means to materialise, basically, to bring to light over distance. And those principles that Sutton put down, eventually Logie Baird uses those to create television.
I'm sure people will start yelling at me that how could I not know more about Henry Sutton, particularly given the fact I've spent years at least adjacent to Ballarat, and I can only apologise to all the community that I don't know more about this. I'm learning so much as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, we hear about these incredible inventors like Tesla and Edison and Alexander Graham Bell. All these people Sutton had a correspondence with. Alexander Graham Bell actually visited Ballarat in 1910, to see Sutton and to look at his telephone line that he installed, which was the first telephone line in Ballarat.
Absolutely incredible. Ellen, we're going to run out of time soon, but we've been talking about the history of the Ballarat Mechanics Institute. What role does it have in the community today?
So we are still a independent member-funded institution, so we don't have any ongoing funding. We still have our lending library in the room that's 165 years old this week is where our lending library is still. And we have our beautiful theatre where we still put on performances and lectures and dances and all sorts of events. So we're still a very central community place, but some people don't know about us. So if anyone's listening from Ballarat or surrounds, please come and visit and become a member because that's how we will survive.
For people coming through town, for people who are taking advantage of just some of the great travel around parts of Victoria, can we just pop in and have a look around?
Yes, check our opening hours. You can come in through the library, and we've got our heritage reading room, which houses our heritage listed book collection. So you can get a real sense of what people were reading in the 1800s. And that's actually housed in the former mining exchange, which is it's now been absorbed into our building. But yes, people can also book a tour, and that will give them special access to other places like the theatre and also our very spooky basement, which has witches' marks and marks on the ceiling and lots of interesting graffiti. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, now I just want to start talking to you about the basement, but we will wrap it up because I need to know more about this later on. Ellen Becker, cannot thank you enough for having a chat on Nightlife. I will get myself down your way ASAP. That is a promise.
Wonderful. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.